It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Sandy Rios with you. I have a kind of, I think, a big deal announcement that I want to start the show with right away last night at 8:26 p.m. And perhaps some of you don't know this because if you watch Fox, certainly they're not going to tell you. But Real Clear Politics, which is highly respected, it's an organization based in Chicago. They're the ones that do the aggregate of all the polls and are, from all accounts, very objective about what they do. They have removed Pennsylvania from Joe Biden's column. Joe Biden has lost, according to them, 20 electoral votes, which means he is not, under any circumstance, the president-elect. Not that he was before this, because until the votes are counted completely, until states certify, he cannot make that claim, and yet he's making that claim. But right now, Real Clear Politics says that Joe Biden, at least according to the tallies, has 259 electoral votes, not enough to be president-elect, and that's a very big deal, I might add. And let me just say, Pennsylvania, of course, all eyes are on Pennsylvania right now, and last night, the president's attorneys actually descended on the Supreme Court. There were 10 GOP attorneys general urging the Supreme Court to take up the case on the Pennsylvania ballot deadline extension. You may recall that before the election, I can't go into all of this right now, but let me just say that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ignored the Pennsylvania legislature and declared that ballots could come in past the deadline by several days. They also discounted the need to match signatures. And so obviously that's being challenged because a Supreme Court even in a state cannot override a legislature. So that is the crux of it made simple. It was John Roberts who actually favored the decision to let the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania's decision to override their legislature stand. So now it's back in the Supreme Court. And last night, about 5 o'clock, President Trump sent out a notice, and some of you may have gotten this, asking Christians in the country to please pray. Please pray for his team and pray for what's going to happen at the Supreme Court. So we all wait to find out what's happening there. If it's come out this morning, I haven't heard about it. Meanwhile, another huge case is going to be heard at the Supreme Court this morning. You may remember when Amy Coney Barrett was in the process of going through a nomination process. Do you remember those big posters of pictures all around the hearing room and the claims repeatedly by the Senate Democrats and the Judiciary Committee that the allegation that Amy Coney Barrett wanted to eliminate Obamacare. She wanted to kill people, put them at risk. I mean, that was the theme over and over again. Well, that case is actually coming up today. And Rob Henneke, who is our guest this morning, is with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He's an attorney for them, but he's the lead attorney for the individual plaintiffs on this case. And the case is known as California versus Texas. And we've asked Rob to join us this morning. It's Rob Henneke. I got to pronounce it the correct way. Rob, thank you so much for joining. I know it's early in Texas, so thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, my pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Rob, why, first of all, is the case called California versus Texas? Why that? Where did it arise, and what's the conflict there?
Sure. So the case was initially brought by the state of Texas and other states that joined that coalition. I joined the case with my clients who are the individuals in the case. And it was California and Speaker Pelosi's House Democrats that intervened into the case to defend the Affordable Care Act. We won at the trial court. Our side won at the appellate court. So because it was California that appealed their loss at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, that the case is styled California versus Texas because they're the losing side in the underlying case that was appealed up, and that's before the court here today.
Oh, it's so confusing for people who don't, you know, or aren't in the courts all the time. So I know that you can break this down for us, Rob, and help us to understand. What's at stake, really, interestingly enough to me, is a decision that was made by the Supreme Court, I forgot what year it was, but it was that decision that John Roberts was the final decider on, in the words of George W. Bush. Explain that to us, why we're kind of in this mess and this has not been settled and Obamacare is still in place.
8 years ago, in the first Affordable Care Act case, you remember that Chief Justice Roberts switched sides and voted with the four liberals on the court and issued an opinion that had kind of a tortured reasoning that recognized that the central concept of the Affordable Care Act, the individual mandate, which was the command to all Americans to have to buy federal government-approved health insurance, that was unconstitutional, but because that there was a penalty associated with that mandate, that all of that could be construed as a tax. It was a highly criticized opinion at the time, but the sole basis of their reasoning was that because this penalty generated revenue for the federal government, then they could be saved under the taxing powers. Well, Congress eliminated the penalty in 2017 as part of the tax cuts bill, and so our lawsuit points out that, you know, the sole basis with which the Supreme Court saved the Affordable Care Act 8 years ago, that no longer applies, and what is left, the individual mandate, is what the Supreme Court has already said is unconstitutional. So given that that's left and given that that is the engine of the Affordable Care Act, we argue in court here today that not only should that be struck down, but that the remainder of the Affordable Care Act just simply cannot function without the basic premise upon which the entire law was enacted.
So it really is a drama because you've got John Roberts, who already made a really bad decision, an unconstitutional decision, really, to declare it a tax when that wasn't even part of the case. And then you've got Amy Coney Barrett, who's freshly on the court, who actually criticized before she was ever on the court John Roberts' decision. And then you've got, of course, we know how the liberal leftist judges are going to feel about this, but now we have five so-called conservatives, if you want to put John Roberts in that category. I don't necessarily. But I'm sure you guys have gamed this out. If you were to, you know, I don't know if you should speculate, but I'll ask you, can you speculate on what you think they're going to say?
Sure. We can look at what the Supreme Court has already published about this case. I mean, at the high end, I think our side could still win what we won at the federal trial court, which was the judge there agreeing that because this command can't be separated from the rest of the Affordable Care Act, that the entire law has to be struck down. I think it's the high end. I think the low end is using the court's own recognition in the second Affordable Care Act case that, at a minimum, this mandate is intertwined with the regulations involving persons with pre-existing conditions and the regulations on individual health insurance. So at a very minimum, that part of the Affordable Care Act should be struck down, but you may leave other aspects of it, such as the taxes or the Medicaid expansion or something like that. I think that that is really the legitimate range of options that the court has in front of it based on its prior precedent and rulings, and that you're going to see the court kind of fall somewhere in between.
Yes, well, we're all waiting to find out. We need to sort of talk. Rob, you know how we forget things? Like you're sitting here and you think, oh, you know, the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act is so yesterday. It was 2010 when it was passed. It was passed on Christmas Eve. They forced it through. It was shocking, actually, and the American people rose up to try to stop it. And in the ensuing years, some people would say, Rob, that they finally got coverage. They never could afford medical care before this, and now they have it, and now you want to take that care from them. And some are saying maybe 20, I think it's the estimates like 20 million Americans. What's the motivation for removing Obamacare? Why is it so important to you and to the others that attorneys general who are fighting to do that in the court today?
Well, twofold. One, most importantly for today's court case is that the central premise of the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. It is beyond the power of our federal government for our government to come in and command you to purchase something that you don't want, that the government tells you that you have to buy. The federal government cannot do that. But even beyond that, you know, our healthcare system is broken. It's broken 10 years after the passage of the Affordable Care Act because the Affordable Care Act has made healthcare unaffordable. And you have millions of Americans today that are not able to access care as a result of that, or they have a high deductible policy that means they still have to pay out of pocket to get health care, and they have to pay for an expensive health insurance premium that never seems to cover anything. That's the reality for millions of Americans, Americans like my clients who are self-employed, and that's where they have to get their health insurance. So, you know, 10 years after the fact, we have to recognize that the Affordable Care Act has failed policy. Now, we're not asking the Supreme Court to rewrite the law, but until the current Affordable Care Act is struck down, or at least the critical components are removed, we can't move forward on finding healthcare solutions that restore the empowerment to Americans to be able to have control and decision-making and affordability over their healthcare needs.
Yeah, I think it does kind of boil down for me philosophically of a government control. You know, people from the top telling us what procedures we can give and what we can get and what we can't get. Also, just the invasiveness of the medical records, of the questions asked by physicians, the control. It's just very creepy to me. And I know a lot of people feel like they are covered for the first time, and I think maybe it's true that low-income people have had some kind of coverage that they've never had before. But it is not to say that if the Affordable Care Act is thrown out by the Supreme Court, that there can't be any other provision. I guess I would ask you, Rob, maybe you don't want to weigh in on this either, because I don't exactly know your position here and what you can and cannot say. But personally, I think, you know, free market is still the way to go. There would be free market solutions to this if the government would just let go and let the people in the industry and the creativity of the American people step in. I'd love your thoughts about that.
I absolutely agree. And I think that where the path forward needs to be is to give back control to individuals to be able to make their own healthcare choices, and to do so by getting the federal government out of your personal business, but also getting the big insurance companies out of being the decision maker on whether you get a procedure or not. You know, we need to get back into a direct relationship between doctor and patient in, you know, how you pay for your health care and how you make decisions about your health care. And there are models that work, models such as direct primary care, to where you're able to directly, you know, see your doctor without having to get permission from the health insurance company. But we can't get to those options. We can't get to, those solutions that exist while we have the overall regulatory powers of the federal government controlling health care through the Affordable Care Act.
Hey, Rob, 30 seconds. The timeline here, they're going to hear the case. I'm assuming, will this be one of those things where we won't know till next June what their decision is?
It won't be that long because this case is being argued in the fall. The opinion will probably be issued in February or March. And then once that opinion is issued, we fully expect that the case will go back down to the trial court for kind of a wind-down period to enter a final judgment, but to also give, you know, Congress and policymakers a chance to figure out next steps. So,
well, it's all very interesting,
opinion,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob Henneke with Texas Public Policy and one of the attorneys general, working with the attorneys general who are bringing that case before the Supreme Court today. So we'll wait. You'll be hearing about that tonight. Thank you, Rob. Thanks so much.
We're Bible League International, and for more than 80 years, we've been engaging the world with God's Word for only $5 a Bible. Here's Pastor Dewesi in Ethiopia.
We have a great need. We don't need food in the church, but they are only crying out that you give them the Word of God. And whoever comes and is able to give us a Bible, it will be better than giving us food to eat.
You know, that pastor's not denying the need for physical nourishment, but he's stressing the urgent need for the spiritual nourishment that comes only from God's Word for Christians in his country and for millions around the world who have been denied a Bible. In fact, at Bible League, we estimate that as many as 90% of the evangelical community around the world where we serve cannot access God's Word and be reminded of his promises on a daily basis. Learn how you can be a blessing by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org or by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. God bless you for caring.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So yes, they can handle your bills too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
At Liberty University, we believe in honoring service. That's why we offer first responder and military communities deep discounts on all of our 450-plus online programs. Military students, veterans, and spouses pay just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and $275 to $300 per credit hour for graduate and PhD courses. First responders receive a 25% tuition discount, and those who qualify may be able to use both discounts for even greater savings. It's our way to say thank you for all you do. To learn more, text AGREE to 49595.
When Stalin and Lenin and Castro came to power, one of the first things they did was draft blacklist names of their political enemies. Many were imprisoned, sent to gulags and work camps. So you can understand why more than a few eyebrows were raised when many prominent Democrats said they wanted to punish members of the Trump administration. Slate magazine called for Trump advisor Stephen Miller to be arrested. A former member of Pete Buttigieg's campaign actually started a website where people can post the names of anyone who worked with or supported the Trump administration. The Trump Accountability Project, that's what they're calling it. Arrest the president, that's what Keith Olbermann says. AOC says Trump supporters should face public scrutiny. I'm not sure what that means, jail time or public shaming, who knows. That being said, one day don't be surprised if I'm broadcasting this commentary from a gulag. Be sure to download my free podcast, listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at ToddStarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hey, I want to repeat what I said earlier at the top of the show because I want to make sure you hear this. I'm not sure you'll hear it today, but Real Clear Politics has withdrawn Pennsylvania from Joe Biden's Electoral College tally. And that brings him down to 259 electoral votes, and that not 270. He is not the heir apparent of the presidency in spite of what he says. And, of course, you're hearing them complain about not being able to have a power transfer, that he's not getting money for offices and all of that. The General Services Administration oversees that. But their response to him is that an ascertainment has not yet been made on power transfer. So it's unsettled. It is not decided. And as I told you before, the president's team went to the Supreme Court last night to ask the Supreme Court to once again hear what's going on in Michigan, hear from them, all these allegations. And the president asked all of us to pray last night and certainly pray today, too, because I'm sure that I don't think it's a done deal or I would know about that. So Joe Biden, in spite of what he says today, does not have Pennsylvania in his column. And so just keep that in mind. I want to also tell you that I don't think I said this earlier, and I surely did mean to. I want you to have a really good source of information, and there are some I know already, but I want to recommend one that I don't think I've spoken to you about, Epoch Times. The Epoch Times has become one of my favorite outlets, one of my most trusted sources. It's not my only one, of course, I have a million, but the Epoch Times, and you will have to pay a little bit of a fee, not too much, but to get their stories. But I'm telling you, they are the best right now for information that you can trust. And so the Epoch Times, just saying, and they're following these elections and all these details in and out. Well, you may remember, and I know that you do because we talk so often, every morning as a matter of fact, that it hasn't been that long ago, it was just before the election, that we had some, well, shall we say, social media shenanigans going on. I think Tucker Carlson probably said it best. Let's listen.
Most of us never imagined it could happen in this country, and yet today it did happen. A major American newspaper published a story, apparently an entirely accurate story, about a presidential candidate. The tech monopolies that control American media feared this story might hurt that candidate whom they favor. So 3 weeks before a national election, they shut the whole thing down. They prevented the public from reading the news. They didn't apologize for doing this. They didn't bother to make up reasonable sounding justifications for it. They just did it, exactly as the Chinese government does. These are monopolies. They have all the power. You have none. They don't have to care what you think, and they don't. This was mass censorship on a scale that America has never experienced, not in 245 years. And it's a threat to all of us. Democracies only function when there is a free exchange of information between citizens. We no longer have that. This is a dark moment.
It certainly is a dark moment. And it's interesting that Media Research Center has now actually quantified, well, that decision to remove that article and the coverage of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and China and all of that scandal, the fact that you were not able to hear about that because it was censored by social media, had a huge impact on the election. They are saying that big media and big tech stole the 2020 election. Dan Gaynor is the vice president for Media Research Center, good friend, and I've asked him to join us this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, and I wish we were talking about good news in regards to media censorship. The history of journalism is always one where when an outlet is censored, other outlets support them. That happened with the Pentagon Papers very, very prominently. The New York Times was supported by the Washington Post and others. But when the New York Post was censored, the major media supported it. They discounted the story. They refused to report the story on their own. They refused to follow up the story. So the New York Post was silenced for 17 days.
17 days. Wow. You
know, I mean, Twitter silenced them. Facebook restricted the stories. Facebook even violated its own fact checker policies, according to their own fact checker. So you know, there was a setup. So we did an analysis, did a poll, interviewing Biden voters. 36% of them had never heard of the story, never heard of the scandal, and 4.6% of Biden voters said it would have changed their vote. Now, take a quick look at polling results and imagine 4.6% of Biden voters walking away, and you realize the problem we've got right now.
You know what, Dan? We probably should remind people, the news cycle moves so fast, but the story about Hunter Biden and China's just part of it. China is our number one enemy on the globe right now. I guess you could say that, and that's why we'll pick on China. The incestuous relationship between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and China is frightening.
Ukraine as well. I mean, the office of the vice president, because that's what Biden was at the time, is a marketable commodity where, you know, your talentless son can go and earn, you know, more than $1 million a year in a job he has literally no qualifications for. It's the very essence of corruption. And yes, I understand that parents can't always control the actions of their children. But if you're the vice president of the United States, that would seem to be something you would want to get involved in or disassociate yourself with. And so, you know, you look at the testimony that's been silenced. I think it's Bobulinski, his testimony that he said the Biden family knew all about this.
Yeah, that Joe Biden knew all about it. He met with Joe Biden himself, and Joe had said, I never talked about my Hassan's business dealings with him. And Bobulinski says that, this is the thing, Dan, that I try to make clear. It isn't just about Joe Biden having a really bad son with a cocaine addiction problem, making money off of these governments. It is that the Biden family, including his brother, and I think his sister, and Hunter, and probably Joe himself, that's still pending. It may not ever be investigated now that this has happened, have enriched themselves with these arrangements. Joe Biden is not, he's not just got a bad kid. We think he's up to his ears in this corruption.
And worse, it's, I'm going to say this, I care less about the money, I care more about the ties.
Yes.
China, as you said, is our number one enemy. I mean, not to downplay Russia, Russia's our enemy too, but China is geopolitically the equivalent of the U.S. with a much bigger population. It's not a free nation. It locks you up if it disagrees with your political positions. It particularly locks you up if it disagrees with your religious position. It mistreats Uyghur Muslims and put a million of them in camps. It mistreats Christians all the time. And yet this is a country that is tied to American interests enormously, particularly American media interests, who, this is how you see these stupid films like The Wall get made. The movie about the Great Wall of China, where they built it to fend off some supernatural enemy. This is why the movie Martian gets made, because, of course, you have to depict Chinese now in film only in a positive way. And so that the same companies that own these movie companies also own news networks. Disney, ABC. There's a reason why Mulan happened. It's not just because they wanted to make sure that they did a good movie. It happened as a propaganda entity for China.
Yeah. So, Dan, back to your poll, though, because I don't think we finished quite this part. And that is, you found that 4.6... percent of the Biden voters would not have voted for him if they'd known this story, which was censored by Twitter and Facebook and by the major media companies. And so you have a conclusion about a numerical conclusion, do you not, of what the difference it made in the race?
It made enormous. It basically cost Trump the race. I mean, that's just, no matter how you look at it, 4.6% turn, and we went down the line of all the different states, and you look, Arizona, by the most recent numbers, would be plus 58,000 for Trump, and Georgia plus 100,000 for Trump, and go down North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. I mean, it would have just shifted the entire race,
and so
that's
true, because the race is still so close. I think that nationwide, Biden and Trump are only separated by something like 250,000 votes, something like that. But, Dan, so that point I think we've made, and made it well. And by the way, we should refer people to your article, which is that big media and big tech stole the 2020 election. We'll put that on our Facebook page so that I wonder if they'll leave it up. Well, we'll try. And people can, or they can go right to Media Research Center, mrc.org, right?
Or newsbusters.org. That's probably the better one.
Say that again.
Newsbusters.org, our blog site.
Okay, newsbusters.org to find that article so you can bypass social media. But let's talk about let's assume that Joe Biden does win, and I'm not assuming that yet, by the way. But let's assume he does. I found an interesting article by Roll Call this morning. Dan, you're all over the tech stuff. We've talked about this so much before. And so the title of this article is Twitter, Facebook Face Rocky Future Post-Donald Trump. And I thought, I wonder if they're going to be cracking down. But no, the thing that they talk about is how Joe Biden is upset because Twitter and Facebook did not censor enough, did not control the information enough. In fact, people are still hearing this stuff about bad counting, about voter fraud, and it has to be stopped. So what is your thought about what's going to happen with social media? They're coming up for some hearings. Do you think that's accurate, what Roll Call is reporting, that it's going to be worse for us?
Well, of course it's going to be worse. at issue, it's very simple. Conservatives want to be able to post on Facebook and Twitter. Liberals don't want them to be. And I mean, that sounds, you know, there's no debate about whether liberals can post on Facebook and Twitter. They of course can. Antifa is still on Facebook. We can't get them removed. You know, they can go harass members of Congress at their homes. They can go harass Tucker Carlson at home. They don't get removed. You know, QAnon, which is just a conspiracy theory group, oh, they get removed instantly because major media complain about them. There's a guy from the New York Times, a reporter who does so-called misinformation. Today he was complaining about misinformation on Facebook. Every story, he listed four stories. Like, oh, these are still on Facebook. They're all true. Every one of them is true. But he calls them misinformation because he disagrees with them. So what they're trying to say is misinformation is news we don't like. And that's a terrifying problem. So
yes,
again, they want to silence new, you know, opinion they don't like, which is why people are moving to Parler, which is why people are moving to MeWe and Rumble and all sorts of other you know, newer things, CloudHub, etc. Because they realize that the left runs these operations, and they can. If they get rid of, I mean, Facebook's got 2.7 billion people in the world. If they were to lose 40, 50, 100 million people in America who happen to lean right, it's just a few decimal places on a spreadsheet, and they move on. They don't get harassed by the major media. Because the people who want to censor the right more than big tech are big media, because they don't like that we have an opinion. They don't like that we... How, you know, Kevin Ruiz, the whole premise of his daily posting of the top 10 stories on Facebook is that how dare people read something that's not CNN and Washington Post and New York Times? How dare they want to go to Dan Bongino or Newsbusters or Breitbart or, you know, Daily Caller or Daily Wire? I mean, they're actually basically offended that we would read news and information from somebody else.
As I know they are. All right, so we're going to run out of time here, Dan. We also need to say, I guess, just that we, you know what, you and I need to do another interview about, practically speaking, what we can do, because that's going to take a longer conversation. You alluded to some of those other platforms, and I'm with you on that. The Section 230 debate, which is, you know, freeing up regulations so that these platforms can be sued. What's the future of that now if Joe Biden is the president?
Well, I mean, I think it, you know, obviously Biden has talked about getting rid of Section 230, and some conservatives have as well, or tweaking it. But if you're going to tweak it, basically the left and the right aren't going to agree. And that's that space that the tech companies are living in right now. They know that the left and right won't agree. Even some people on the right don't want to mess with the companies. So right now it doesn't look like we'll get any quick reform. Probably end up in the courts suing. And then we find out how expansive Section 230 really is and how much it really protects them.
Yes. I think we're in for a wild ride. And I think one thing right away, specifically, Dan, as I alluded to this, you need to figure out who you want to follow. Media Research Center, of course, is one of those entities, Newsbusters. They have great information. You need to go right to them. Does that mean you would not Google your address at all, Dan? How would you handle that?
That's the problem. Back in July, Google put a whole bunch of us on a blacklist where for several hours, I mean, every MRC site disappeared from the basic Google search, along with Daily Wire and Twitchy and a bunch of others.
Breitbart has the same problem.
Yeah, so people need to, they need to bookmark the address for the sites that they most like to follow, because they can easily go away. Google controls search for 92% of the world. If they decide that you want to disappear, you're gone.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty scary prospect, but it's actually within our sight. This is not speculation. It hasn't been for a long time. And we can all actually almost see it coming right this very minute. Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Media Research Center. Dan, let's keep fighting. I know you will, and I will too. And God willing, we'll have a good outcome. And we can take back our country in all the ways that are necessary. Dan, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. God bless.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Right now, our country is in trouble, and people are scared, people are afraid, and we see the violence and the injustices that are taking place. Only God can change this. This is a problem of the human heart.
If you'd like to pray with someone, call us any time of the day or night at 888-388-2683. 888-388-2683.
Call that number right now. We've got someone who will pray with you, talk with you, encourage you. God bless.
Listen to Don. Join in every week.
Dr. Greg Smalley of Focus on the Family.
Listen to the wisdom this man gives and emulate that. Don, you do that so well. I definitely have learned over 20-plus years that we've been doing radio together so many things from you. So find a guy that you look up to and just start learning.
Encouragement Live with Don Hawkins. Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 Eastern. Here on American Family Radio.
David, the son of Jesse, just an ordinary giant slayer. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. David's battle with Goliath is an epic drama where the little boy stands in God's power to conquer the Philistine giant. David didn't awaken that morning expecting to slay a giant. He didn't stroll in with an entourage after a rugged mountain range training camp like Rocky and Rocky IV. He was just a regular kid bringing his brothers lunch, but fully confident in God's immeasurable power. Though he saw Goliath, David never acknowledged him as a giant, saying, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who dared defy the Lord of hosts?" When regular people are fully persuaded, fully confident in God's power, giants fall.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. There are enough irregularities in the vote count in this year's presidential election to merit investigations and court challenges. Hundreds of thousands of ballots entered the system at 4 a.m. in Wisconsin and Michigan, all of them for one candidate and none for the other, a statistical impossibility. But we have a God who sees what is done in darkness. Sovereign Lord, we ask you to bring to light every evil thing that is hidden in the darkness, so that the truth may be seen. Please expose anyone who is perverting the course of justice and raise up judges who will punish any who are guilty, so that the rule of law may be upheld and honored in our land. We ask you to restrain the powers of darkness so that your will and your will alone may be done this day on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, President Trump fired Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. One of several reasons was likely determinative and must not be repeated by his interim successor. Last June, as Antifa and the Black Lives Matter organization were rioting in cities across the country, Mr. Trump entertained the idea of invoking the Insurrection Act to restore order with federalized National Guard and perhaps active duty military units. Secretary Esper publicly opposed taking such a step. The Semmers' Marxist revolutionaries are now poised to build on the chaos they previously caused in the hope of driving Donald Trump from office and driving Joe Biden further to the left. Mr. Trump must have a Secretary of Defense and Joint Chiefs of Staff who will execute lawful orders to disperse those who seek not just the end of his presidency, but the end of our constitutional republic. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay. I know you couldn't tell what that was, but I'll tell you what it was. It was Black Lives Matter protesters going into a neighborhood, I believe, last night. And I don't know what neighborhood. It wasn't labeled. It didn't tell me where. But they were in front of the home of a white man and his white wife, because that's important to the story. We have to talk about people in terms of their color, of course. They can't have any other identifying characteristics. It's just we are white and black and brown, indigenous, whatever we are, and that's who we are then. It has nothing to do with who we are inside or how we feel. Black people can't possibly support Donald Trump, according to the race-baiting advocates that we have running our government and in our streets. Okay, so this white gentleman and his white wife come out on the porch. And the guy says, "That's a Joe Biden sign. I'm a Joe Biden supporter. It doesn't matter, blank you, blank, blank your white privilege, but I'm a Joe Biden. Don't you see? Don't tear up my house or my yard. Don't you see? I'm a Joe, blank you, blank white privilege, blah." I mean, that's the way it went down. Reminds me very much of a couple of clips that I wanted to play for you yesterday, and it was the same thing but different. It was Black Lives Matter protesters clashing with Joe Biden supporters, and the Joe Biden supporters were celebrating because, of course, Joe Biden had declared himself president-elect, and they were at Black Lives Matter Plaza, and they were drinking and partying and having a really good time, these white Joe Biden supporters, when Black Lives Matter folk arrived and got really angry and screamed at them about white privilege and their F and F and F and F, all kinds of Fs just shared and spread about the anger, how you don't know, just because you're going to put your white man into the presidency, it doesn't change anything for us. And so then at another rally, similar, this one was, yeah, I'm forgetting my cities, but this is a different place than D.C., I believe. It wasn't a Black Lives Matter anyway, Plaza. You've got black people on this stage happy that Joe Biden won, and you've got other black people in the audience who are not so happy that Joe Biden won. In fact, one gets really mad and hauls off and hits another one. I mean, really hits him. You can see it in the video. And they start fighting, and then someone on the stage says, how can we fight each other? We can't fight. You see, we are going to be entering into a time of such chaos. And I want to go back to I just realized what I did. We played that. Okay. I want to go back to what I told you about yesterday and repeat it, because I think you should know. The Trump Accountability Project has been set up. It's going to block jobs for and shame anyone associated with Trump. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has asked for retaliation for unspecified crimes of Trump supporters. And she's asking to kind of tie into what we just talked to Dan Gaynor about. Is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? So in other words, capture their posts in support of Donald Trump. So, you know, when the payback comes, when the re-education camps are established, when it's time for people to get jobs, we're going to remember. We're not going to forget. It's payback time. Half of the country is going to pay back the other half of the country. You know what? It's funny because they're calling now for unity. Joe Biden called for unity, didn't he? He's going to be president of both countries. They want Trump supporters to, you know, just sing kumbaya and hold hands just like they did after President Trump was elected, right? That's what they did, right? Oh, no, maybe they didn't. Maybe they decided, like, within the first 24 hours that they were going to resist. They were going to resist inside the federal agencies. They were going to resist. We had at his inauguration. During it, we had terrible disruptions, attacks against Trump supporters. Then we had the Women's March that took place right after that, and they really cooperated. It was kumbaya, right? Yeah, they were just, you know, they just said, well, look, our time will come in another 4 years, right? Oh, no, I guess they didn't. I guess they didn't do that. So this is what Harry Savugan, now I told you this yesterday, I realize, but I want to repeat it. Harry Savugan, a former spokesman for the Barack Obama campaign, called for a Washington jobs boycott for Trump loyalists and threatened anyone who would hire them. Employers considering them should know there are consequences for hiring anyone who helped Trump attack American values. And then he goes on to say, we must never forget those who furthered the Trump agenda. We must remember what they did. Those who took a paycheck from the Trump administration should not profit from their efforts to tear our democracy apart. The world should never forget those who, when faced with a decision, chose to put their money, their time, and their reputations behind separating children from their families, encouraging racism and anti-Semitism, and negligently causing the unnecessary loss of life and economic devastation from our country's failed response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and on it goes. Well, I have a new one today. This is from another kind of threat, and it is comes to Joe Lockhart. If your company or organization is represented by Jones Day, let them know how you feel about all this. Growing discomfort at law firms representing Trump in election suits. So that's a New York Times article. It says there's a growing discomfort at law firms who are representing Trump in election law. So, you know, you law firms who are allowing your attorneys to be hired in defense of Donald Trump, you might want to reconsider. I mean, we're entering, like, we are really entering a thugocracy. No question about it. If these people on the left prevail with this, it is going to be a nightmare. I think of a lot of people that I'm close to who work and live in the Capitol and who have poured their lives, who have done so many great things. I have never even been able to tell you all the great things coming out of the Trump administration. The elimination of regulations that were killing small businesses. And that may not sound like much to you, but things like farmers being fined out of existence because of water issues on their property. This is something that started during the Obama administration. The harassment of people like Catherine Ingebrecht comes to my mind, because I know Catherine, I knew her well. I haven't had contact with her for a while. But she had something like 6 agencies come after her because she formed the King Street Patriots. This is a nightmare scenario. And it's pretty ironic that Anderson Cooper, in talking about the results of the election and his complaining that Trump just won't back away and his supporters will not let Joe Biden declare victory, makes this comparison. This is clip 4. Let's listen.
In the mid-90s, I think it was like 96, I was in Kinshasa in the waning days of Mobutu. And Mobutu was a, you know, pretty awful dictator. And when he finally fled the country and the rebels were moving to take the capital, his son drove around in a pickup truck with a machine gun and settling scores with people he felt had not been supported enough with Mobutu. Thankfully, it hasn't come to that here, but I can't believe we're in a situation where a transfer of power is not. I can't believe we are in this situation here.
We're not in a situation, Anderson. There's no declared winner. Joe Biden now does not have even the votes he needs that he's claiming. He doesn't have the number of electoral votes he needs to be the president-elect. He doesn't have it. This is all facade, and they want to, of course, continue the facade at CNN. So does Fox. And if you don't believe that about Fox, there was a stunning moment yesterday. Katie McEnany in her capacity with the Trump campaign, was making a statement about what they were doing and what they were seeing. And it's being covered by Fox. Neil Cavuto is the host at the time. And this is kind of what it sounded like. Clip 5.
Let's listen in.
One party in America that opposes verifying signatures, citizenship, residency, eligibility. There is only one party in America trying to keep observers out of the count room. And that party, my friends, is the Democrat Party. You don't take these positions because you want an honest election. You don't oppose an audit of the vote because you want an accurate count. You don't oppose our efforts at sunlight and transparency because you have nothing to hide. You take these positions because you are welcoming fraud and you are welcoming illegal voting. Our position is clear. We want to protect the franchise of the American people. We want an honest, accurate, lawful count. We want maximum sunlight. We want maximum transparency. We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote to
be... I just think we have to be very clear. She's charging, the other side is welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting. Unless she has more details to back that up, I can't in good countenance continue showing you this. I want to make sure that maybe they do have something to back that up, but that's an explosive charge to make, that the other side is effectively rigging and cheating. If she does bring proof of that, of course, we'll take you back. So far, she has started saying right at the outset, welcoming fraud, welcoming illegal voting. Not so fast. We'll have more after this.
Not so fast. Okay, so, Neil, thank you. So, let's see, what does that mean? So, until what? Until what happens? What Neil needs to see the court cases and have read everything before he's convinced himself that there are real reasons to be concerned in these states? Otherwise, you can't hear about it. You can't hear about it till Fox decides that there's a real issue. I just, it's amazing to me. That's why I'm not watching Fox now. I'm just not. I will watch Maria Bartiromo. I did watch Tucker last night, there are a few others that I will watch, but very few. And I'm going to be looking to other outlets, and you're going to be hearing me use Epoch Times. As I told you, the Epoch Times is a great outlet. And by the way, Jenna Ellis, one of the attorneys for the president, tweeted this. I didn't realize Neil had left Fox to join the federal bench in Pennsylvania and already reviewed our 105-page lawsuit filed less than an hour ago. Then she said, as a reminder, there have been multiple on-record allegations of voter fraud from U.S., that's the United States Post Office employees, and poll workers, while GOP poll watchers claim they were prevented by Democrats from performing a meaningful observation of poll counts. And then Sean Davis weighs in on this. Is Fox News deliberately trying to get rid of its conservative audience by giving it the middle finger? Or have Fox hosts just lost any ability to hide their hatred of the 70 million Americans who don't have Trump derangement syndrome? And so that's the response from people on the Trump team about what Neil did to Kaylee yesterday. All right, so I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to quantify it for you. This is a story actually from Fox News, so that's good, and it's by Paul Steinheiser, and he points out that Biden beat Trump by less than 276 votes in key swing states. Okay, so that's just in the swing states. That's what I couldn't remember earlier. They're still counting votes in a handful of key battleground states in the presidential election, but a look at where the current vote totals stand points to a second straight White House race decided by razor-thin margins. And that's kind of an overview of that. And by the way, the Epoch Times has a breakdown of every single state and what's going on, what the allegations are. It's got some of the witnesses' statements. I think you'd find that interesting. So, again, I want to recommend to you, we'll put a link to that on our Facebook page, The Epoch Times. And it will be a source of great information because we're going to be running out of places to get that information. Also, of course, One News Now. One News Now is our news source, and so you need to be looking at that, too, for trusted information about what's going on. So, all right, here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. It's not over yet, and even when it's over, it won't be over yet. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.